Hello, fellow geeks out there. It's that time again to listen to a podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network. Fight the criminal, chase the bad guys, save the world, fly to the sky. Have kid, I'm amazing. Okay, stand shot, I'm facing. Yeah, 1-0, then you zap. Get seen, get trapped. Look in my eyes, I got the power. Villains run from static shower. It's superhero gifted. Bell ring back in school. Nobody know what I do. Okay. Superhero static shock. Superhero static shock. Superhero static shock. One zip, then you zip. You see, get trapped. Look in my eyes, I got the power. Business from the static shower. Coming over, get twisted. It's superhero gifted. Bell ring back in school.
Hello and welcome to the 97th episode of Tooncast, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave Joan Mike, and today I'm joined once again by Steve Megatron. Hello.
Hello.
And the rising star herself, Tara. Hello.
Hey.
Today we are going to be continuing the DC Animated Universe Spotlight with Static Shock. So what's been going on with you, Steve?
Nothing much. Just a bunch of voice work lately. And my new microphone that I just got.
I was going to say, yeah, you did get a new microphone, so that's always good.
Yes.
Yeah. What about you, Tara?
Well, I am fresh off of my reading week from Centennial, and now I'm back in school and gearing up to do our final film. So that's going to be fun. And also, my birthday is in 10 days as of today, March 17th. So I'm excited to turn 20.
Yay.
Yay.
So that's basically what's up with me. Nothing too crazy.
Yeah. Let's see. I just finished interviewing Robert Axelrod, Barbara Goodson, and my buddy Scotty Cash for From the Command Center. We finally got From the Command Center in iTunes. We're still doing the top 100 animated series thing. We've got episode 22 coming out. Actually, it'll be released before this episode will go up, but it'll be out Monday the 21st. I think Monday's the 21st. I don't remember anymore. I think. I don't know. We've got some special MWire stuff coming up. We're going to do a couple special, like, current movie episodes for MWire before it comes back in July. Oh, hell, what else? I think that's it. So, Tara, why don't you take the history lesson for us?
Sure thing. Static Shock is an American animated television series produced by Warner Brothers Animation. It premiered in September 2000 on the Kids WB block and ran for 4 seasons with a total of 52 half-hour episodes.
Wow, I did not know it ran for 4 seasons.
Didn't know that either.
No, I didn't. Steve, do you have any general memories of Static Shock, of seeing it when it was on air?
I remember vaguely seeing some different ones, some of them having to do with the fact that, people didn't know that he had powers. I believe his name is Virgil.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have any powers, or is what people thought. And then I remember seeing some where, of course, they were crossover episodes.
Yep. Yeah, what about you, Tara? What do you remember about Static?
Well, what I mostly remember about Static is that I used to watch it mostly in the afternoons on a network here in Canada called YTV.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed watching it as a kid next to, you know, all the other great superhero shows that were on in that time, around 2000, 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was funny, it had great writing, and it was just, it was an interesting, you know, different type of superhero that I wasn't used to.
Yeah.
And I felt like I could really relate to Static more than probably any other superheroes. I don't know why, but maybe it was because he was, you know, a little bit younger than some of the other superheroes and that he had a different personality. But it just, that's really what I remember about it. And it was just different to me. It was just fresh. It was like new.
Yeah, I remember watching it, and it's kind of funny because the way the DC Animated Universe goes, it goes Batman Beyond, Zeta, and then Static. And you know, as I said last week in episode 96 with Zeta, I mean, Zeta wasn't that great. And then to go from Zeta to this, I mean, this Static Shock does have its problems, but overall, it's a very social type of series as far as, like, it hits on a lot of really, really social issues as far as, I know it hits on racism on a couple episodes. I know it hit on drugs and alcohol in a couple episodes and stuff like that. As far as Static himself, I mean, you know, Steve said there were some episodes that no one knew his powers were, and then he was teaming up. You know, the whole, you know, oh, nobody can know my secret identity thing, that's almost every superhero, specifically Bruce Wayne and Batman. And I mean, you know, I mean, technically Richie was Static's Robin, so... but I mean, overall, it was really well done for the most part. I did not care for the themes, the first season's theme song too much. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Getting into the characters and the voice actors, he uses a bunch of items, which I'm not really going to list off. Everybody really knows these. The two that I'll talk about is the disc that he uses to fly on. It's a Mylar that folds out to become a disc that Static, you know, can ride on the air and stuff. And then they have the shock boxes, which are technically walkie-talkies. And then Richie/Gear has Backpack, which is a robot and has a camera and tracking device and all that good stuff in it. The Hawkins family is Virgil Hawkins, a.k.a. Static, who is voiced by Phil LaMarr.
Phil LaMarr has such a great range from voicing Green Lantern in Justice League, which is a really, really deep voice, to voicing Static here, and even to voicing the adult Static. I mean, from kid Static here to adult Static, it doesn't really change that much, but it changes slightly, and I like that slight change.
Yes.
I have to agree with you on that. The voice cast for this was really well done, and definitely have to agree. Phil LaMarr, excellent choice for Virgil and Static. His personality really came out for this character, and he portrayed him so well. He was very believable.
Yeah, it was. Then you have his father, Robert Hawkins, who is voiced by Kevin Michael Richardson. Very cool. Robert Hawkins is a social worker. That's what it was said in the show. He's basically a single father with Virgil's sister. Not with Virgil, but I mean, he's a single father to Virgil and Sharon Hawkins, who was voiced by Michelle Morgan. What did you guys think of Robert Hawkins from the show, Steve?
He's kind of, and reading his bio, it kind of makes sense, the fact that he's a Marine and everything. He was very strict. Mm-hmm. And very much against his using the powers and everything else, which he was vaguely aware of. But it was just, I don't know, he was a stickler for, you know, these are rules, don't, you know, just very strict.
Yeah, yeah. And then Sharon, ugh.
Oh, my God.
If there was one character in this that I could not stand, it was Sharon.
Oh, I have to agree with you on that.
Oh, my God. It's just... Ugh.
She's so annoying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, honestly, she's more annoying than another character that I can't remember the name of, but she's annoying as hell.
Yeah, she is. It's just... I mean, Sharon's annoyingness is just so off the scales. And then, of course, you have Gene Hawkins, who is Virgil and Sharon's deceased mom. Let's see. Other heroes, we have Richie Osgood Foley/Gear, who is voiced by Jason Marsden. I actually tried to get an interview with Marsden, but it hasn't happened yet, so we'll see if that happens at some point. Richie is basically Virgil's best friend. He eventually like at first when the Big Bang happens, which is in the very first episode, a bunch of gas explodes down at the docks and everybody either gets these weird powers or they melt away. At first, Richie doesn't think he has powers, but then after time, it's revealed that he's like a super genius. So he creates backpack, he creates all this tech for himself to help Virgil and go out and do crime fighting. I like Richie. I think he's a good contrast to Virgil. I don't particularly like Richie's father, because Richie's father was the racist. I mean, it just goes to show you that all different types of kids have different types of home lives. And, I mean, you know, Richie, he's got to lay off the fries.
Yeah, lay off the fries.
Yeah. What about you, Steve? Did you like Richie at all?
Yeah, I'd have to say that those are, between that one and the main character,
Static,
I'd have to say those are the two favorites of the show.
Yeah. And then they have Adam Evans, a.k.a. Rubber Band Man. This was one of the coolest, just the way they did the animation for Rubber Band Man, I really liked it. I mean, it's essentially, you know, a nod to, like, Plastic Man and Elongated Man and stuff like that, but very, very, very cool.
Can I comment on this guy for a sec?
Yeah.
All right, well, I have to definitely agree with you. Rubber Band Man is one of my favorite Bang Babies from the series,
mm-hmm.
especially in episode 5, where where it's revealed a little bit more about his past in terms of him being a songwriter and getting his song, like, you know, his song stolen from him. Just the way I have to agree, the animation with this for 2001, it's so well done.
Oh yeah.
And it's so believable, and, like, my favorite part with the animation with him is when he turns into, like, a ball.
Yep.
And is bouncing, and just all the crazy things he can turn into, it's just, it's amazing, and he's definitely, like, one of the more memorable villains from the series.
And he eventually would just become a hero, though.
Yeah.
Because he does that whole, oh, I'm a redeemed character bit.
Yep.
Yep. And then you have Shebang, who is voiced by Rosalind Taylor Jordan, a girl who was genetically engineered in the lab to have enhanced strength and agility. The two scientists who created her, Doctors Jonathan and Dolores Vale, took pity on her and took her home from the lab, although she was not their natural child. Excuse me. I could care less about... I mean, it just doesn't, I don't know. She just wants to fit in and not be mistaken as a Bang Baby, because it was frustrating for her to pretend to be quiet wallflower of a girl. I mean, I can see that situation, and as I said before, you know, this entire series is all about different home lives and different ways that people deal with different situations, but I don't know, she's kind of a forgettable character for me. What about you, Tara?
To be honest with you, I don't really remember her that much. But the part I do remember about her is that she, you know, she had a crush on Static/Virgil.
Yeah.
That's what I remember. But yeah, she was an interesting character.
Yep. Any thoughts on Shebang, Steve?
Honestly, I don't really have any recollection of this particular character.
I think I'm just going to go down the list here, and I'm not going to go too much through the bios, but next you got Time Zone, and then Anazi the Spider, Soul Power, Sparky. Of course, you have Future Virgil, Future Static, which in Future Richie and Future Gear. And then, oh, God, the Hoop Squad. Oof. Pulverizer, Spin Drive, Center Force, Point Man are superheroes who work for a secret government. They all have their powers and their super suits, and they have secret identities. When they are not fighting crime, they are famous NBA basketball players, Steve Nash, Yao Ming, Karl Malone, and Tracy McGrady. Oh, my God.
Harlem Globetrotters.
Ugh. Oh, God.
Honestly, there's some villains I just don't remember.
See, these aren't well. The Hoop Squad wasn't villains.
No, so. But like, there's some people who I don't remember at all. There's too many characters.
Yeah, there's just way too many characters. I mean, the main one that we really have to talk about out of the villains is, where is he? Permafrost. We can talk about the Nightbreed. Let's see, where is it? Stupid. It doesn't even list him. What the hell? Unless I missed him. Where is that? The hell is Ebon? Sorry, folks. I'm losing my mind here. Pretty teenage boy, German Destruct. Wow, why doesn't it list... okay, I'll have to look at the link. List of villains in Static Shock. Lovely. Alright, here we go. Copy. Sorry about this. I'm going to have to tell myself to edit this, but anyway, I probably won't. But yeah, the list of villains in Static Shock. I mean, the real one to talk about is Ebon. Technically, he's Adam Evans' brother, Ivan. He's the head of the group, Bang Babies, including Shiv, Talon. Ebon is a transmorph, living shadow, and interdimensional portal, able to hide and become one with the shadows. I really liked what they did with this character, playing off the fact that he had to constantly live in the shadows, and every time Static would shock him or you know, light up his world, it would hurt him. So, I kind of like Ebon as a villain, though. What about you, Steve?
I'd have to say that he's a pretty much one of the main head honcho evil guys in the show that seems to be a force to be reckoned with.
Yep. What about you, Tara, for Ebon?
I don't remember.
You don't remember him?
No, I don't remember him that much.
And then the other real main, like, adversary for Static was Francis Stone, F-Stop, Hot Streak, is the guy that can light shit on fire.
I remember him, too.
You do or you don't?
I do.
Yeah, he was done very well. He was voiced by Danny Cooksey. I really, really enjoyed that guy because he was more of a foil for Static. Him and Ebon were more of a foil for Static, and I believe in the last episode of the series, they actually, Ebon and Hotstreak got actually melded together into one being, and it was just really, really weird.
I'm not sure if this is the guy that you're talking about, but the only, I can't remember his name, but the only guy I remember, like, one of the villains I remember besides Rubber Band Man is the Flame Guy from, like, episode...
That's Hotstreak.
That's Hotstreak? Okay. Yeah, that's who I really remember, because he was an asshole.
Yeah, he was. So, Steve, do you have a favorite character or set of characters?
I'd probably have to go with Static, just because he's such a kick-ass character, and he got to meet so many of the elite of the Justice League.
Yeah. What about you, Tara?
Definitely Static/Virgil.
Yeah.
Just because he's kick-ass, he's got personality, he's, you know, he's charming, great sense of humor. Not, as I mentioned earlier, he's not your average superhero, which makes him cool. And, you know, his alter ego Virgil, he's also pretty damn cool.
Yep.
He may come off as a, like, in the beginning, when we first meet Virgil, I thought, okay, this guy's a wimp. This guy is like Peter Parker. You know? But, like, then after he turns into Static, he gets, like, a kind of punk-ass attitude.
Yep.
So I'm like, okay, now I like this character.
Yep.
So, that's why I like him.
Yeah, for me, it's Static and Richie, because just the two of them together, the way that they interact together, it was just amazing. I would also like to mention Edwin Alva, who was the quote-unquote businessman-type villain, kind of like Derek Powers was in Batman Beyond, although Alva doesn't have, you know, radioactive skin. So, getting into the behind-the-scenes stuff here for the directors and writers, most of these guys I don't recognize. I recognize, I think, two of them, James Tucker and Dan Reba, as far as directors, and then writers, obviously. Dwayne McDuffie, who just passed away earlier, a few weeks ago, he was the co-creator of Static. He was the co-creator of Milestone Comics. Writes extremely, extremely well thought out stories and very interesting stories as well. And then for the other, some of the other writers, you have John Semper, who has also done The Amazing Spider-Man, not The Amazing Spider-Man, Spider-Man 94. Alan Burnett, who has also done other DCAU stuff, Stan Berkowitz, and stuff like that. Just really, really great stuff as far as the writing. You know, like Tara said, I mean, this show has a lot of really, really good social commentary episodes as far as different real life situations. So that's very, very cool. Tara, you want to take the actual show there?
Sure thing. Okay. This series centers around the centers of DC Comics superhero Virgil Ovid Hawkins / Static. The series predates the reappearance of Static in the main DC continuity by several years. After the show's initial run on the WB, it was later picked up for rebroadcast by the Cartoon Network, airing initially during the, Magoozy block. Disney XD began airing reruns of the series, starting with Season 1 in February 2009 in the United States. Currently, Warner Brothers has no plans to release the series on DVD. However, the company has stated that it wishes to eventually release all of the DC Animated Universe onto DVD.
I mean, they pretty much have. I mean, Static did get, like, one single disc DVD, or I think it might have been a single VHS tape called The New Kid, which is, like, the first three or four episodes. I mean, the best place to watch this and to find it is YouTube. I've found, you know, pretty much any episode that I've searched for, I've found on YouTube. It's just so much easier there. I would love to get a Static Shock DVD set.
Same here.
You know, I mean, Warner Brothers has made tons of money with that limited edition Batman the Animated Series set, so much so that I don't think it's out of print, but it's like it's pretty much out of stock all the time because it's so popular and it's so expensive now. They've got Superman the Animated Series in complete series form. They've got Justice League in complete series form. They've got Batman Beyond in complete series form. Season 1 of Zeta has been released, and yet Static is getting the shaft by not even having a DVD release. I just think that, you know, it should be on DVD. I mean, you know, maybe they'll have some plans in the future for it, hopefully. So, getting into the music segment, as I said before, I know what they were going for because it is technically an urban show, and they were going for like a hip hop theme and all that stuff. The first season's theme just isn't my thing. I just didn't really care for it. But the second season theme was a little bit better. I think it's either the second or third season, I don't know. Steve, what did you think about the music from Static Shock? Do you remember the music at all?
I remember some of it, and I listened to the theme from the previous episode of Tooncast, and
that's the better theme.
Yeah, it's not one of my favorite DCAU themes.
Yeah.
But I like it a lot better than I like Zeta.
Well, see, I like the Zeta theme. I don't mind the Zeta theme, but I just don't like Zeta the cartoon.
I don't like anything about Zeta. I like this show. That's why I put it on my top 100 list.
But the
audio and music on it was pretty good. I don't remember as much of it as I do from, like, say, Batman or...
Yeah.
The like of that, but I do know that it did fit well with the show, and it was, I mean, granted it was hip-hop, but it wasn't the annoying kind. It was more of the enjoyable, kind of flowed with the action.
Yeah, yeah. What about you, Tara, as far as the music?
Oh, I know you're going to disagree with me on this, but I really like the Season 1 theme song.
And that's fine. It comes down to personal preference. I mean, like, there are certain rap, hip-hop stuff that I can listen to, but it's not, it's just that genre is not something I listen to all the time at all. You know, it's just not something I can handle. I mean,
just to me, you know, it was one of the more catchier theme songs, and it's probably what I remember most about Static was the theme song.
Yeah.
because it was catchy, and I thought it was interesting. It's a lot better than some of the other theme songs I've heard. So, yeah, I have no complaints about it, and unfortunately, I did not continue watching Static from Season 2 and on, so I can only comment on Season 1 soundtrack.
Yeah. As I said, I know what they were going for the show, and I'm glad they actually changed it up over the different seasons a little bit, but they still kept, the same kind of style. I think when they did use songs in the actual episode, it fit for the episode, so. Moving into the legacy segment here, there were several crossovers. Steve, you really have to watch the big leagues. Dakota gets a real jolt when the Joker hits town, recruiting a band of metahumans to wreak his own special havoc. Batman and Robin appear, pursuing the Joker. Static must put his hero worship in check as he teams up with a dynamic duo to put a shock to Joker's system.
Oh, yes, I have to watch this.
Yeah, it's, like I said, these episodes are extremely easy to find on YouTube. Hard as Nails was the Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy crossover where Static has to travel to Gotham City to rescue Nails, a school friend of his who has fallen in with Harley and Ivy.
I definitely need to check that one out.
What?
Huge Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy fan right here.
Yeah. and then A League of Their Own, Parts 1 and 2. When the Watchtower has a sudden power drain, the Justice League are forced to recruit Static to jumpstart their station before it re-enters the atmosphere. Unbeknownst to either Static or Gear, the power drain is also releasing Brainiac from the confinement. There's a note here. Excuse me. The Teen Titans were originally planned to guest star, but those plans were scuttled since these episodes would air before the Teen Titans TV series premiere. Justice League was used instead. Toys in the Hood. Static teams up with Superman when the Man of Steel's old nemesis, Toy Man, appears in Dakota. The original plan for Superman's guest appearance would have had him meeting Shaquille O'Neal in his second appearance in the show, since he was a fan of the Man of Steel. This did not happen since O'Neal was unreachable. Well, thank God it didn't happen. And the last two are Future Shock, which is where Batman was helping, Static is helping Batman with a case, and he finds himself accidentally sent 40 years into the future, where he has to help the Batman of that era, Terry McGinnis, to save a captured superhero, his self, his future self. Note, when Terry McGinnis explains that all the other available heroes, Robin, the Justice League, Gear, his son, and his son, are away, it can be presumed that his son is superhero as well. And then you had Fallen Hero, which was a Green Lantern crossover with Jon Stewart from Justice League. And the best, as far as like the other crossovers that I've mentioned so far, a lot of them are really good. I really enjoyed Future Shock. It was kind of cool. But the best one, in my opinion, was the Once in Future Thing two-parter from Justice League Unlimited. This is where we saw the adult Static voiced by Phil LaMarr, and it was very, very cool. Let's see. You want to talk about the video game, Tara?
Sure, I'll talk about the video game. A Static Shock video game for the Game Boy Advance was developed by Vicarious Visions with a story by Dwayne McDuffie.
Duffy,
in 2002. Despite advertisements in magazines and comic books, the game was canceled when Midway Games, the game's distributor, stopped releasing GBA games following a series of financial difficulties.
Alright, so we're going to move on to some ads and some other stuff, and then we'll come back with our final thoughts.
TuneCast will be back after these messages.
Mortimer Mouse here, and when I'm not setting Mickey up, I like listening to TuneCast.
This is Dr. Wily, and I will destroy Mega Man while listening to TuneCast!
Movie Week in Review is the GeekCast Radio Network's weekly movie podcast. Steve and Mike take a look back on their favorite films and give you their thoughts. They also bring in co-hosts at times. If you are a movie buff, listen to MWire only on GeekCastRadio.com.
Hey guys, this is Optimus Solo from the GeekCast Radio Network, and I was thinking the other day that maybe I've been too hard on the folks over at IGN. I mean, they had to put some effort into their top 100 animated series of all time list, right? I mean, maybe it's just me that wants to punch a baby when I read it. So in all fairness, I thought we should gather some of the people who were involved with this list and get their opinions. So what do you guys think about the IGN list?
I didn't think it was physically possible, but this both sucks and blows.
Okay, anyone else?
Dumb, dumb, dumb! Those dudes are so dumb!
I'm afraid to ask, but anyone else?
Epic fail.
Homer, they put your show at the top of your list. You gotta like their list, right?
I stand by my disappointed groan.
So I guess we should do something about it then.
Are you pondering what I'm pondering?
I am, Brain. I think we should unveil the GeekCast Radio Network's Top 100 Animated Series of All Time list.
I second that emotion.
And I know that our list will be much better than the IGN list. You know why?
We watch a lot of TV.
That and the fact that we are teaming up with This Week in Geek, the Pop Culture Network, Chicken Pop Pod, and some other great geek sites.
By your powers combined,
we will give you a list geeks everywhere can be proud of.
Coming in 2011 to a podcatcher near you, he brought you laughs, he brought you fun, and now he's going to bring you movies. That's right, Double D is back with an all-new show. It's Double D Does the Movies. From the makers of the hit blog, read by tens of internet users across the Southern Ontario region, comes an all-new monthly podcast by movie lovers for movie lovers. Double D will be joined by his friends in the podcasting and filmmaking communities to discuss all the latest movie happenings. From Hollywood all the way to the Southern Ontario region, he's got you covered.
Catch Double D Does the Movies, available now at thisweekingeek.net.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Now back to Geekcast.
We are back, and it is time for final thoughts on Static Shock. What are your final thoughts, Steve?
Overall, good show. I would definitely recommend this, even though it's got its moments where it does cross over with the DCAU overall, but it also holds up on its own, unlike the previous show that we reviewed.
Right, yeah. Yeah, what about you, Tara? What are your final thoughts?
My final thoughts are, this series is just awesome. It's full of win, and I thought it was just a great show, and I miss it, and I hope Warner Brothers decides to put it on DVD, because it'd be nice to have in your collection. It's not, you know, it's not the best DC animated universe, but to be honest with you, it's just, it's worth watching, and Static will live on forever.
Yes, one thing I forgot to mention in the Legacy segment, adult Future Static from Future Shock, or not from Future Shock, from Once in Future Thing. Actually, later this year, that action figure will be released in the Justice League Unlimited line before the Justice League Unlimited line ends in 2011. Oh, so nice. That'll be very, very cool for that. And my final thoughts, the series does have some problems. I mean, like, technical, not really technical, but like, it has, like, really, like, if you're looking at it on a whole as a reviewer, it has some really screwed up it has some just really screwed up ideas and premises and stuff like that. But just overall, I mean, like, stuff like, you know, Static knowing how to use his powers like 5 minutes after he's gotten them, you know, stuff like that. But overall, I did really enjoy it. And like Tara said, hopefully we'll get a DVD here soon. Thank you for joining us here on TuneCast. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Just a note on iTunes. If you leave any feedback past June 1st of this year, any new iTunes reviews will be read in TuneCast Beyond. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is GCR and TuneCast. Mine is TFJ and Mike. Tara, what is your Twitter?
Tara Blair.
And Steve?
SCP-21.
Become a fan of us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. Call the voicemail line. Tell us what you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. Again, I will remind everyone, as of right now, you can call in if you want to leave a voicemail for TuneCast for episode 100. We will be playing voicemails in episode 100 of people's thoughts of the show overall. If you are a fan who has followed us over the last 2 years and has listened to all 99 episodes, go ahead and leave a voicemail. You need to do that before May 27th. May 27th is the deadline for voicemails for episode 100 of Tooncast. We hope you enjoyed this episode and wish you'll join us next time when we will be continuing the DCAU Spotlight with Justice League, where Lupus Convoy will be returning with me to talk about some JL stuff. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Tara the Rising Star
and Steve Megatron Phillips.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Dun, dun, dun.
I'm leaving that in. You know that, right?